Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Change the world. I'll take a scoop of that. Anyways, earlier this week, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, told CBS News that he's changing his holiday plans.
We made a decision just a few days ago as a family that for the first time, you know, I have three daughters in their late 20s and early 30s. And for the first time in more than 30 years, I'm not spending the Christmas holidays with my daughters.
But as we saw from Thanksgiving, when millions of people crowded into airports, not everyone will follow Fauci's example. Some researchers argue pandemic fatigue is deepening and the all-or-nothing abstinence approach to health messaging isn't working. Joining us now is Eric Kutcher, an internal medicine physician at NYU Langone Health. Dr. Kutcher, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So no doubt this pandemic is raging out of control, worse than it's really been since the beginning. There's a patchwork of rules in place from state to state, city to city. Some places it's very strict, other places it's not strict at all. Have we gotten to the point where people are just confused? They don't know what to do, or have they just stopped listening?
I think it's a combination of a lot of factors. I think that unfortunately, you know, our public messaging is messy right now, that there are different policies in place in many different places, that some of those are based on evidence and some of those are not. But I also think that the public is really fatigued now more than they have in the past. And I think that it's unfortunate that we've come to rely on policies and quarantines and lockdowns that expect everybody to be perfect with their social distancing. I think there are real reasons why an abstinence approach to COVID-19 doesn't work for many people. There are people who are depressed or have mental health issues or really just feel isolated and come from the social distancing that we've been doing right now. And I think instead of shaming people who aren't able to quarantine perfectly, we have to figure out, okay, if you're not able to stay at home and follow these orders, and then what can we do to keep you and keep others safe at this moment?
Okay, now you're getting to a point that a lot of people are talking about lately, and this is a way of communicating about risk, a concept known as harm reduction. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so I think of harm reduction as basically that for those who need to do some sort of behavior that puts them at risk for disease, trying to provide guidance to reduce the harms that can happen. The history of this term really comes from the history of HIV, particularly around IV drug use, where the introduction of needle exchanges, where people would exchange needles to get clean ones so they wouldn't have to share them. But since then, it's really been applied to everything from safer sex to, unhealthy eating, where you talk about decreased access to unhealthy foods. And so I think the same approach, this harm reduction approach, fits very nicely with COVID-19.
I want to underscore this. You are not advocating for people to flout the rules if they think they just can't follow them. You are not telling people to gather in large groups to have a party. What you're saying is if you feel like you need to do something, be as safe as possible about it. But you say that at a time when hospitals are strained, when nurses are and doctors are dying because they're getting infected, they're running out of ICU beds. What are the ethical questions here that people have to face? I mean, when they're deciding whether they should follow the rules strictly or carve out exceptions for themselves, as you say.
Right. ICUs across the country are getting full, and we don't want to, have to go to rationing of care. This is something that shouldn't have to happen in the United States. So if you've been able to abstain, please don't, start doing these behaviors. But if you have been gathering, please, now is a good time to try and think about how to make those behaviors safer.
One of the things I've noticed over the course of this pandemic is that there is a lot of judgment going around. People see others doing something that they wouldn't do. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a stranger at the grocery store. And there's, whispering, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this, or I wouldn't do that. That's an aspect about this pandemic that a lot of people don't talk about. Shame and stigma. How does that affect people's behavior?
So I don't think that it's productive. And I think in only having an open, fair conversation where you can share knowledge, are you going to be able to make a productive behavior change? And, you know, I'll say as a doctor, I think that some of us in the healthcare setting, we are so tired of working in the hospitals. It's been a complete drain on our healthcare system. And there's a degree of burnout and fatigue and frustration, I think, on our end too. And so I think that often that, you know, we are sometimes some of the loudest people in that shaming. And I think that it's a gut visceral response when we see the burden of this disease and have to deal with it. But I think that the next step is going beyond that to try and say, okay, let me go beyond this and think about how can I engage you in this care and in this pandemic rather than just yell at you about it. And so I'm hopeful that we can have those conversations.
In the spirit of empathy for other human beings, doctor, that this stuff is all hard no matter how you cut it. You know, you mentioned that healthcare professionals feel so overburdened and tired of what's going on. Could you share some decisions you've had to make in your own personal life that others, you know, might look at and say, well, geez, you shouldn't have done that, or maybe you should have reconsidered, but for you, it was the right thing to do?
So, you know, I haven't seen my parents, basically. I didn't see them from March until July. In July, I realized, you know, I can't not see them anymore. And at that point, the case numbers in New York City were fairly low. And so I decided that I would go and visit my parents. And we did a weekend together. My partner came with me. And the entire time, we wore KN95 masks, which are a little bit more protective. And then we only ate outdoors more than 6 feet apart. My parents have a backyard that we were able to do that in. And the rest of the time we tried to be as distanced, but allowed to be in each other's presence. And so I think, you know, my own personal behaviors, I'd say, in many scenarios are a little bit more precautious. But I also think that's because as a healthcare worker, I'm in a higher risk category. And so I don't use my behavior as a model for others to follow. Instead, I really think that, you know, other people who don't have access to the same resources are going to have to make very different decisions.
Dr. Eric Kutcher, thank you very much.